Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, also the Big Ten Network analyst, joining us here. Mike, how you been?
I'm well, Bill. How are you?
We are doing extremely well. Let's start off with the team that you've covered in the Big Ten, and that's Wisconsin. As the Badgers go in to face Oregon, seems like they're playing Oregon every year in the tournament. They played them, what, three times now in the last, like, 7 years or something like that?
I don't know how that keeps happening. It's crazy.
It's a good matchup. Look, Oregon has won eight straight to get into the tournament. Meanwhile, Wisconsin, they play a weird style of basketball. They get down, they come back, they spend a lot of energy, and then they're scrappy enough to win some games. But are they scrappy enough to win and go deep into this tournament? That's the big question.
Well, you know, I thought coming in a month ago that they were in really good shape to do that. I haven't liked the way they've shot the ball in certain circumstances of late. But what bothers me more than anything about the matchup is the guy on the other bench. Not that Greg Gard isn't terrific. I mean, that's. But what the point is that what Wisconsin does is unusual, uncommon, atypical for the NCAA tournament bracket. They're probably the only team that plays like them on the bracket. And it really helped to have just a guy on the other bench. And instead you have somebody who's really good and a team that's not really very consistent and has holes, but that is dynamic and big and can block shots and has a veteran point guard in Peyton Pritchard. And I don't like the matchup. I mean, for a 12 seed, you want Liberty, man. You got that. You know, it's a good, solid mid-major team, but that's what you want. You want to play them. You don't want to have to play a high-major team that's got a lottery pick on it with a Final Four coach. So the Badgers could have done a lot better, not by what they did, but just by the luck of the draw. They did not get done any favors there.
We all know Ethan Happ is kind of the straw that stirs the drink, but for this team to win, what else needs to happen? It can't just be Happ, you know, trying to get them out to a bigger lead so they don't have to shoot free throws down the stretch.
Well, I think it starts with how the other team defends them. And if you, a lot of teams, because Happ is such a fearsome offensive player, will choose to double-team him. And I don't know whether Dana will do that or not based on what we saw Saturday with Michigan State playing him straight up and Wisconsin being very ineffective against that. But if they do play him straight up, then Happ's got to dominate. I mean, he did not dominate on Saturday. He was fine. He was 10 of 20 from the field. Michigan State's whole game plan was built on making Ethan Happ fine, taking him from potentially dominant in a one-on-one matchup and saying, if he's not dominant, we can win. And so if he gets into a matchup where he's singled up, then he has to dominate. He has to be extraordinary. I mean, he's got to go 15 of 20, and he's capable of doing that. He can't just – there are times when if Ethan's singled up and the other guy isn't backing down, sometimes Ethan will get frustrated and just try to make a play. And that's when he winds up 10 of 20. And if he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't get frustrated and he stays patient, then he may not get 20 shots, but he's not going to miss 10. So that's what he's got to do. He's got to, if he's in a one-on-one matchup, he has to dominate it. And that may be 12 of 14 rather than 10 of 20. But he's got to be patient. He can't just settle for missed shots because that's their defense. Their offense isn't set up. For them to get the rebound if it doesn't go. And there's nobody usually in the neighborhood for them to collect an offensive rebound. So it's a miss or they either makes it or they're on defense. And if they double him, then Trice and Davison have to make shots. And at times they haven't. And at times they have. And those are the times that Wisconsin is, for a lot of people, nearly unbeatable.
Kobe King came into this season with such high hopes after getting injured last year, rehabbing and then coming back, and obviously a lot of eyes coming out of the state of Wisconsin on him to see if he could excel. What has or hasn't allowed him to excel the way people thought he would?
You know, I think some of it's opportunity, some of it's the way they play. I mean, what I mean by that is where does the game get tilted toward? How do people defend Kobe? How does you know, how do opportunities develop for him? I mean, we've seen Khalil Iverson really come on, and I think some of that's affected Kobe because, you know, Trice and Davidson aren't going anywhere. They're the ball handlers. They you know, Trice runs the show. Davidson's one of your key defensive players. So then there's, you know, there's only so many positions left after those two and a half. And so with Iverson coming along so well, some of Kobe's opportunities have diminished. You've got the Reavers-Ford combination taking up most of the power forward minutes with Iverson sliding over there to make the team a little bit more dynamic at times. And so there's maybe not been a slot for Kobe to always get into. I think there'll be more room for him a year from now when Reavers probably becomes the post. And then there's a little bit more room at that third perimeter spot for Kobe to do some damage.
Talking with Mike DeCourcy, the Sporting News and Big Ten Network analyst. Now we move over to Marquette, who's got Murray State first out of the chute. We all know Marcus Howard's got a little bit of an ailing wrist, but he's kind of the straw that stirs the drink. But the Housers are going to have to pick it up. Everybody's going to have to pick it up if in any way, shape, or form Marcus Howard isn't hitting.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting, really compelling matchup between Marcus and Ja Morant, who is one of the best pro prospects in college basketball. And, you know, obviously Marcus has had a phenomenal year, and it's not really tailed off that much, but the team has. I mean, he's continued to rack up points and in a lot of circumstances has been really effective, but as a team, they just have not been able to hold up lately. It's been really surprising to see how that's gone. The Creighton game, I think, was really important to play a team like that at home and not get a result that you want. I think that really fueled some difficult circumstances for them. Losing at Villanova, most teams in the country are going to lose at Villanova. But then when they dropped the home game to Creighton, then I think it really started to get kind of tough for them. And it has, you know, they were able to in the Big East tournament to do a great number on St. John's, and then of course with him having problems with the wrist, Marcus having problems with the wrist, did not have a good game against Seton Hall at all. For them to only lose by a bucket in a very odd game, while he's shooting 1 of 15, was probably not that bad a result. But I do wonder how well they'll do against a team that has a player like Morant. If they can't get a lot out of Marcus, I'm not sure where the game tilts toward Marquette if Morant is badly out-dueling Marcus.
And we know that Murray State still one of the top three defending teams in the country. I think they're in the top 10 when it comes to defending beyond the arc. So as far as shooting the basketball goes, yeah, it's going to be kind of tough for Marquette. They needed to get into a rhythm early. I did want to ask you about some of the favorites. Obviously, Duke coming in with Zion Williamson, committed to play. He seems to be completely healthy. Is Duke by far the favorite, or is it Duke and then just a few others that are kind of nipping at their heels?
You know, I think Duke is a pretty clear favorite because of what they've been able to accomplish when they've been relatively whole. With Zion and Trey Jones on the floor, they're 24 and 1. When these guys have gone the full game and not left injured. I mean, Zion left once injured, twice injured. Also, the Florida State game only played half. Trey missed 34 minutes, I think, against Syracuse with a shoulder problem. And so when they haven't been all out there, they've been beatable. But with everybody intact, now I know Marquise Bolden is part of that. I'm not sure that he's indispensable. I would say that Trey and Zion are. If Bolden makes them better, those two make them great. And if they're not able to play, which there's no indication now that what I'm saying is, but when they're not out there, then they have problems. Without Bolden, I think they can survive and still be a Final Four national champion type team.
I wanted to ask you about Michigan State. A lot of Big Ten tournaments made this, and in my opinion, Big Ten coming into this thing, one of the strongest conferences in college basketball there this year. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. It's not really an opinion. I mean, the numbers are there to support it. They were the best conference in college basketball, especially 1-14. You know, they don't have the number of high-end teams that the ACC does. ACC has three number ones. ACC has two teams on the four line that are both very dangerous. Big Ten doesn't have that. But part of the reason the Big Ten doesn't have that is because Illinois and Rutgers and Indiana and Ohio State and Penn State, I mean, those teams weren't out there, you know, just playing tomato can for everybody else the way the bottom teams in the ACC did this year. And that makes a difference in how you get seeded and how you're viewed. People say, oh, the ACC is the best conference. Look, they have three number one seeds. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain that's losing 25 games. You know,
That's
kind of how people judge conferences. I judge a conference on, look, you got 15 members, they all count. You got 14, they all count. How many of them can play? And in the Big E, in the ACC, the answer was, oh, about six of them, seven of them can play, maybe eight. And then beyond that, you don't want to look. And in the Big Ten, it was 14 can play. They got 14 members. They can all play. And that changed the way this season developed for everyone involved.
Mike, great stuff as always. Always appreciate it. Should be an awesome tournament. Look forward to talking to you soon, okay?
Okay, thanks, Bill.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Mike DeCourcy, the Sporting News, also with the Big Ten Network. He's the analyst there, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.